Hello, this is Jaden Finder. We want to thank you for listening today. We would love to connect with you on social media. Now let's go into the live message.
When somebody gets blessed, you don't say, oh man, I don't know why they're getting blessed now. You rejoice with them. Rejoice with them. And I promise you, you need to get around people that are being blessed. A friend of mine said, my son's never going to have any money because all of his friends are poorer than he is. Friend, you need to be around people that are being blessed. It's contagious. Their thought process, the words they speak, the attitude. And God wants to bless everybody in this house equally. He doesn't love one person more than another. The Lord is on your side. I'm going to continue talking tonight on how do I get my prayers answered? Part 6. You're not here? It could be. I won't say it is. It could be because, number one, you're getting all your prayers answered and you don't need this lesson. It could be because you don't think prayer works at all. Or it could be that you just don't care. Or it just could be you didn't have a ride. Or it could be you're watching and you're going to get all of it right there online. And I'm going to believe for the latter. Amen? Because I want you to be blessed, coming in and going out. And God is blessing us. I can tell you that we have been through a terrible, tragic time in America the last year now. And I told you last week, this world's in a mess, but it's not your mess. But it's a mess. But during the mess, it's been the greatest time of my life and blessing and Pastor Brandon's life and the church. God has blessed us in so many ways. And praise God, I really do believe that He's going to continue to bless. And I want to thank you for coming out to the house of God. One of my pastor friends here in San Antonio that has one of the larger churches in San Antonio told me some while back, he said, Pastor Steve, he said, man, I loved my Wednesday night service, but he said, I just can't quit having it because he said, nobody, I mean, this guy runs a few thousand people, he said, nobody would show up on Wednesday night, so I finally quit having to have it. But praise God, thank you for coming here and supporting this. And when you do that, you know, God is an amazing bookkeeper. When you come here and support this Wednesday night service and keep it flourishing, that means that everybody that gets saved on Wednesday night, part of it's going to go to your account, and God's going to add it to your blessing. Because if you didn't keep these lights burning and you didn't come out here and worship God, that person that shows up on a Wednesday night needing a miracle or needing the Lord, the doors would be closed. So thank you very much. Would you stand with me, please? Let me read with you the two scriptures I've been using for a text. Mark chapter 11, verse 24. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire. Oh, I love that. Whatsoever things you desire. And that's where I'm living. I remember, Sister Glory, when everything was a need. I mean, I needed shoes. I needed a car. I needed gasoline. Everything was a need. I told you my story, and you're tired of hearing it. About Sister Becky and I going to a revival in Aurora, Illinois, and we had no money. No money. When I say no, we had enough money to stop at a Stuckey's and buy one hot dog and one soda, and I tore that hot dog equally in half, and then I took the biggest half, and we shared a drink, and then we got to Aurora to start our revival. So that was need. Well, praise God, I can go down tonight and get two hot dogs if I want them. Things have changed. Things have changed. But he said, whatsoever things you desire. God said, I'll take care of your needs. But after I get your needs met, if you'll keep believing and praying, then I'll move you into the desire territory. I don't want to embarrass anybody, but how many people could just shout and say, I'm in the desire territory. I got my house. I got everything paid. I got my car note paid. I'm in the desire now, and I'm desiring some good things for this month, for this week in the month of March. Amen? So whatsoever things when you pray, or whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them. That's God's plan. And now I always give you this little verse just so people know who this is for. This is not for the agnostic or the atheist or the rebellious or the disobedient. For the Bible said in John 9:31, now we know that God heareth not sinners. That doesn't mean that God does not, that God cannot hear a sinner. It doesn't mean that. It means God has no covenant that he has to hear sinners. The only prayer that God has a covenant to hear from a sinner is the prayer of salvation. So God does not have to hear. There is no principle guiding that. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. I'm a worshiper of God, and I'm striving every day to do God's will. That means that God hears me, and that means whatsoever things that I desire when I pray, I believe I'm going to receive them, and I shall have them in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Pastor Brandon was talking about the resurrection offering that we receive on every Easter Sunday. And it is simply a principle. If you don't give anything of the resurrection offering, it will not affect those lights. It will not affect the mortgage. It doesn't affect any of that. But do you know the Bible teaches that you don't really sow seed out of need. You sow seed out of faith. And that's the greater blessing. It's a principle so great that God himself observed it. I had a pastor tell me, he said, well, I don't believe tithing is for the ministry. It's only for the saints. He's a stupid man. Because number one, he's just taking himself out of the running to be blessed. Out of the open window. He's not living under an open window. Because the Bible said he's not. And so when you talk about a seed, it's not just for a few. It's for everybody. It's even for God himself. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Did you know that Jesus Christ was the greatest seed that was ever sown? And he was sown by God the Father himself. And then you trace it all over to the book of Hebrews. And the Bible said, and Jesus led many sons into glory. He had one only begotten son. But when he sowed Jesus and Jesus was resurrected, then he brought many sons into glory. That's the same principle that God wants to put in your life. That you're not sowing out of need, you're sowing out of love. God did not need humanity. He didn't sow Christ because he needed us. He sowed Christ because he loved us from the foundation of the world. And he reaped a great harvest at resurrection. And I'm one of them. And you're one of them. We're part of the harvest. Would you give the Lord a praise? All right. Why are the answer to my prayers sometimes delayed? Do you ever pray a prayer and you really thought you ought to get it right now, but you didn't get it? It comes to mind very quickly. I had a place, I've bought and sold about 40-some properties now, ranches, and most of them were ranches. And so, but the one that I remember most was the one where I raised Pastor Brandon and Pastor Sean. I had that place for sale for 16 years. Did you ever have a place for sale for 16 years? Well, I wasn't too upset about it. I was using it, and we was doing our business out of it. But I had it for sale. Every once in a while, I just nudged God. God, I want to sell this place. And I was asking $750,000 for it. And I just kept it on the market and kept it on the market and kept it. Every once in a while, I'd pray. I thought my prayer was being denied, but it wasn't being delayed. And God told me one time, you're not asking enough money for it. I said, what should I ask for it? And the Lord said, $1,250,000. I bumped it up $500,000 after 16 years. And the very next day, a woman driving down the road called me and said, Pastor, what you asking for your place? I said, $1,250,000. She said, I'll take it. Wow. And when the realtors and the title companies don't like the buyer and seller to come at the same time. They always space you about 30 minutes apart because they don't want anybody to get in a fight at the closing. But she requested at the title company that she be allowed to be there because she wanted to put that in my hand. And she said, not only did I buy it and going to be blessed, she said, the Lord told me I was going to be a blessing to you, and I just want to personally put this in your hand. And she did. And she got that property and made hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars with that property before she sold. It was a blessing to both of us. So sometimes you can prod God and say, God, do it. And God said, well, I can do it now. But if you'll give me just a little time, I'll make it a whole lot better. And so all of your prayers that are delayed are not necessarily denied. But when you do not get your prayers answered, you just need to ask yourself if you meet the qualifications. What are they? Well, you're not a sinner. You're a saint of God. That's the first qualification. Number two, you're a believer. Number three, if you will remember this, you're not a prisoner of your passions. In other words, when you go to God, you don't remind God of all of your passions and faults, why God can't manifest his blessing to you. You remind God of all of Jesus' perfection. You pray in the name of the Lord, and so you are not a prisoner of your passions. Not only that, God is not a stranger. When you're praying, you know that you're praying how? Like a child would ask a father. He is not your judge at that time. He's not your enemy. He's not your deal maker. He is your Father. He is your Father. Jesus said, talking about the Holy Spirit and asking for the promise of the Holy Spirit, the prayer for the Holy Spirit, he likened that to a child asking his father for a gift. And so when you pray, realize that you know God by name. His name is Jesus Christ. It opens the door of heaven. It shakes the foundations of hell. It looses angels. It binds demons. It causes the devil to flee. It causes angels to come and stand at attention, waiting for you to give them their marching orders, because the angels are the errand runners of salvation, of the heirs of salvation. That's that. And so you look at all your qualification, and your prayer is still not answered. And then you can ask, why are my prayers not answered? Or you can more aptly say, God, why is my prayer delayed? Delayed does not necessarily mean denied. In Daniel chapter 11, verses 12, and he said unto me, this is Daniel talking, and he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, he's a child of God, understand the words that I speak unto thee. This is God talking back to Daniel after his prayer. I speak unto thee and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoke this word, I stood trembling before the Lord. And then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day thou didst set thy heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I come for thy words. He said, Daniel, it's been 21 days, and I haven't answered your prayer, but I heard you the very first day. God hears every prayer that you make as a son of God. He continues in verse 13. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. For lo, Michael, one of the chief princes came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. And so he said, I heard you, but he said the king of Persia, which was a demon spirit. Persia, as you would know, is the Old Testament name for Iran. It's always been a demon-possessed field place, just like it is today. They chant in the streets of Iran almost every day, death to America, death to America. It's not because they hate you. They don't even know you. It's hated because there are demons there, and because this is a nation that was based on the foundation of Christianity. And so there's a great enmity between Iran and America. But there was a demon spirit there. And so that demon spirit was so strong that when Daniel prayed, that demon literally came in and began to war against Daniel's prayer. There are prayers that you make that are insignificant to the devil, and they will float right through, because they really don't affect the devil's kingdom. They don't affect a lot of things. And so they're very easily and readily answered. But there are prayers that you pray that are so powerful and so important that they not only get Gabriel's attention and Michael's attention and God's attention and Jesus Christ's attention, but the devil knows that what you're praying for is a death sentence to his kingdom. And so when that happens, the devil is going to fight that prayer. And so what I'm telling you is that your most important prayers will many times not be denied, but they will be delayed. And we have to realize that. Daniel was praying, and he did not understand the importance of what he was praying. It was not just for his generation. It was the revelation that we have today of the end time. What Daniel was praying for was a force, an agenda, a spirit, God's design, God's platform from that time to the end of the ages. And all men that seek the will of God and look at prophecy will look to Daniel. And so it was an eternal prayer that was going to affect not just Daniel and that generation and immediate Israel, but it was going to affect everything from that time even to the moment we stand in San Antonio, Texas. It was a monumental prayer. And so because of that, the king of Persia, the demon spirit, went to fight against that prayer. But notice, even though it was delayed, it was not denied. And there are some of you that have been praying prayers that are not just about a new car or a better job. The prayer that you're praying will save your sister or your brother or your mama or your daddy or your children. And when that happens, it's not just going to be for your daughter-in-law that gets saved. There's going to be a domino effect, and it's going to cause many people, dozens, maybe hundreds, perhaps even thousands of people could get saved from that one prayer. And so if you think that the devil's just going to stand by and say, well, I don't care about that, you're wrong. He is going to fight that prayer. And so that's the reason why some of your prayers have been delayed, is because they are important not only to you and your household, but they're important to the church. They're important to the family of God. They're important to God Himself. See, the Bible said the only thing that God ever wondered about, this is a verse in the Old Testament, the only thing God ever wondered about, not many things does God question. Not many things causes God to scratch His head and say, I wonder why that. The only thing that God ever wondered about in the Bible said God wondered that there was no intercessor, that there wasn't somebody that would step in. Now, why is that? Now, this is an interesting point. If God knew there was a need for an intercessor, why didn't God just do it without an intercessor? You have to realize this is a very complicated system, and it's built on principles. God is not a God of whim. He is a God of principles, and He has got a kingdom built on principles. And one of the principles is that God has to have an intercessor. And that's what Christ is. He is the chief intercessor. The Bible said He intercedes at the hand of the Father right now, every day for us. He is the chief intercessor. But if He is the chief intercessor, if we are followers of Christ, we ought to be intercessors for your church, your leaders, your pastors, your family, for those that are unsaved, those you work with. You ought to be an intercessor. It's the greatest work of the church, is that we would intercede, that we would stand between somebody and hell. We would pluck, as the Bible said, like brands out of the burning. And so God wondered that there was no intercessor. But God apparently said, I can't do it until there is an intercessor. And so God, talking in that prophetic tone, sent the intercessor Christ that He might save the world that would believe. And so there are things that need to be done. But God is waiting on the voice of His church, the hands and feet of the body of Christ. He is waiting on us to become intercessors, that we would begin to pray. Because now you need to understand this. This is very important. After He talked about, I heard you that first day, but I was hindered for 21 days. But He said, now I am here, and I have come for thy words. Friend, when you pray, your prayers become pregnantly powerful with promise of what you want, but also what God wants. Remember, all things work together for good for those that love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. When you pray in your love for God according to His purpose, hell can't stop it. The demons of Persia cannot stop it. The principalities of darkness of San Antonio cannot stop it, because you are an intercessor. You know you're not a sinner. You boast not in your righteousness, but you boast in the righteousness of God. You talk not about the deeds that you have done, but you talk about the robe of righteousness that you have put on. You brag on Christ. I'm not what I used to be, but look what I am. Oh, terrible, wretched flesh I was, but look at me now, born again and saved and sanctified. Look what God has done in me. And you begin to brag on the works of God. And then your prayers go up. And after that delay, God comes down. And what does He do? The Bible said He comes from your words. Your words actually become the weapon of God. Think about that. You know how we use God's word as a weapon? God uses our word for a weapon. That's the reason why it is so necessary that we learn how to pray, that we pray in the will of God. We pray. You know, I used to have a group of people when I was first starting. They were wonderful, sweet people, but bless their hearts. They'd been through too many churches and had too many hurts and too much tradition. And I'd call a prayer meeting with that 25 people, and it was the most morbid thing you've ever heard. They'd just pray like this. They'd say, God, you know we don't have nothing. And God, you know that we are not very powerful. And God, you'll know that we've asked a lot of times and it's never happened. And everything they said was negative. Friend, if your prayer is negative, it's not the prayer of God. The prayer of God is a positive word. It is laying hand on the willingness of God. It's not denying yourself. It is confessing, I know the will of God for my life is to do and to have. I know, God, that you're not only going to fill my cup, you're going to run my cup over, praise God. I love the running cup story because it means somebody else is going to get some. Not only am I going to be blessed, my husband's going to be blessed, my wife's going to be blessed, my kids are going to be blessed, the people in the church are going to be blessed, the lady I stand beside at work, she's going to be blessed, my light's going to shine, fill my cup. But friend, you have to learn to pray. A funny story, but it's a sad story. When I first came to San Antonio, there was a man in another church. He'd been a missionary to Japan, I think it was. He never attended our church. Every once in a while, he would show up. But he'd had on the mission field, he'd had a total and terrible nervous breakdown. It affected him mentally. And you couldn't tell it too much until he got under stress. But he was a good guy, and I liked him, but he was a problem in the church where he went. And they had a custom in that church, like on our chapel, they had a room where they would go to pray before service. And so he would go to pray. And the pastor always went to pray. But what he would do is he would kneel beside the pastor and he would pray all of his grievances. And this is the way he'd pray. He'd pray, oh God, help our pastor. He's not a very good pastor. He's not a very, right beside him, he's not a very good preacher, but please, God, use him. And he'd pray like for 30 minutes about his pastor kneeling right beside him until he was negative. Well, his pastor was a friend of mine. He's a big guy, and he had a little bit of a temper. And every once in a while, he'd just reach over and grab that man by the nape of the neck and drag him out of the prayer room and throw him out of the prayer room. Say, quit doing that. Well, that was a bad scenario, but I heard the story many times, and it was always kind of funny to me, but it's really not. Because it's really what people do. Sometimes they pray against their enemies. Sometimes they pray about their hurt. Sometimes they pray about what people have done to them. Sometimes they pray about how, for some reason, they have not been blessed. And somebody else has been blessed. You can't pray like that effectively. When you pray, remember, if your prayer is being delayed, your words have to be so stout and so powerful and so creative. Yes, creative. Your prayer has to be creative. Creative what you want. That God himself will come and take those words. Now, can you imagine this? God himself came down and got Daniel's prayer. And where did he take it? He took it back, right back to that demon spirit from Iran, Persia. And he said, listen to this man pray. Devil, you don't have a chance because this man is so much like me and we are so much in unity and oneness. Devil, you are going to be defeated. And ladies and gentlemen, you can learn to pray in the synchronization of the will of God to where you and God are so much akin that the devil can't get in between you. And whatever you pray, God's going to open up the heaven. And he is going to bless you, and he's going to glorify himself and his kingdom by your prayers because he is going to take your words to do it. And so you have to realize that prayer is a mighty, mighty, mighty weapon. But you can't quit. You can't quit. 16 years, I didn't quit. Praise God, I'm always been glad. I go by that place every day. I can't go down that road, and I go by it almost every day. I can't go by that little ranch in that house without saying, thanks be unto God, prayer works. But you just got to stay after it. You got to keep knocking until the door opens sometime. You got to keep asking until God can answer. And so that's exactly what happened with that situation. But this is very interesting. Look at this. This is Ephesians 6:11. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Familiar so far. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, you know that, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That's exactly what God wants to do. He wants you to have authority over those spirits, like that demon spirit that was there in Iran, over Persia. God wants you to have power in your prayers. Look at this verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Now, this is what I want you to see. But mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. You see, Daniel's prayer went up, and it just sat there and vibrated. But when God said, I came down to get your words, now his words were through God. And once his words were through God, what did they do? They pulled down that stronghold. There are strongholds against your children, against your success, against your blessing, against your ministry, against your money. But praise God, if you will pray effectively, that prayer will just vibrate for a while, but after a while, God will come and snatch that prayer up, and it will literally become a weapon against the adversary, and the devil will not be able to prevent you from getting your prayers answered. Whatsoever you desire, when you pray, believe that you will receive them and you shall have them in Jesus' name. My God is a mighty God. My God is a good God. One of my, you know, the Pentecostal church has been so good to me, but one of the little theories I had to readjust, and that was that somehow God wanted to keep me at the bare minimum, for somehow the thinking is, if I'm at the bare minimum, I'll have more trust in him. That's not true. God hadn't had me at the minimum. God, I know some of you work for minimum wage in God's kingdom, but I hadn't worked for minimum wage for a long time. God gives me more than I ask, and more than I desire. Oh, God gives me raise after raise after raise after raise. That's my desire, and God just keeps pouring it on. But when you realize maybe my prayer is being delayed, let me give you a few reasons for that in closing. Number one, sometimes your prayers are delayed because it involves other people. You're praying, and it involves other people. God's got to do a little work on them before he can perform your prayer in them, but he will. And so sometimes it seems like my prayer is not being answered. It's because God is doing some work behind the scenes that you cannot even imagine. You cannot even imagine what God's doing. God knows it. I was preaching in the old building one time, and a man stood up sitting close to the front, a visitor, first time he ever been there. He said, "Preacher, why don't you just tell him my name? You've told him everything else about me tonight." I didn't have a clue who he was. But God was working on him so strongly, he thought I had some clairvoyant power and I knew every sin and everything he'd ever done. But praise God, God was working on him. And when I gave the altar call, he's the first one there to give his heart to the Lord. God knows. God's working on things you don't have any idea. You know, your position from where you're viewing it means everything. Remember, we set low and look low. We should set low and look high because God sets high and looks low. If we would look toward heaven, even though we're setting low, there would be a real merging of our vision with God because God's setting high and looking low. And so God has a vision you don't have. You say, that just has to happen. Not from where God says it don't. There's a few things that have to be rearranged. There's a few people that have to be changed. There's a few appointments that need to be made. And so that can be one reason why your prayer is delayed. Number two, you're involved in something much bigger than you realize, much bigger than yourself. You feel like it's just you. Oh, God, answer this need. Lord, I really need this. And it's so intimate and so personal to you that you think it's isolated to you. But God said, no, it's really not. It's a contagious prayer. Once it happens to you, everybody you show up that's not wearing a mask is going to get it. Praise God. I'm talking about a spiritual mask. It's going to be contagious to other people. And God realizes that. And so it takes a little longer for him to get all of the ducks in a row and all the people in the right position because God is doing something much bigger than you have any idea. Number three, God needs to realign your prayer. Sometimes we just don't pray right. I'm sure I've there many times I just don't pray right. God said, you got the right idea, but you got the wrong phraseology. You got the wrong request there. You're kind of starting at the wrong place on this thing. There's always, you know, in everything you do, it's kind of like when you stack those things up and you pull out something, the whole thing tumbles down. There's just one thing that's going to trigger. And sometimes you don't have the trigger, and God says, well, let me realign your prayer a little bit. So it's going to take me a little bit of working on you until you see it like I see it, and then you realign that prayer, and then that prayer is going to be answered. I saw a deal. I don't know whether they make this stuff up or not, but those dogs on TV, on social media are amazing. I get hooked on them. I start watching them dog things. Man, them dogs are they're smarter than I am. But they had this deal where you stack all these blocks up, and you tried to figure out which ones you could pull without the tower falling down. And that dog knew which one you could pull out. He would pull them blocks out. I was just amazed. I don't know whether that's true or somebody's just making it up, but I was doggone amazed when I saw that. I know that. But I'm telling you what, you don't always see things like God sees. You said, God, I just need you to do that. And God said, I could do that with marginal effect. But if you will be patient and you will trust me, instead of having marginal effect, I'm going to realign your prayer a little bit. And when I do, you're going to pray to faith. I'm going to come down for your words because they're going to be just right then. And praise God, when I answer that prayer, it's going to be blessings you cannot count. It's going to be such a magnificent outpouring and manifestation that you're going to be amazed. I know so many times in my life, I've been amazed when God answered my prayer, how much bigger the answer was than the prayer was. I said, wow, that was a small prayer with a big answer because God let me get it aligned just like he wanted it. Number four, it has long-term effects. You think it's just a momentary thing. God, I just got to have this right now. But it's going to affect you the rest of your life. Might be going to affect your family the rest of that. And so God delays it for a little while. But this is patience and trusting God. Two things, that God is good. Number two, that God hears my prayers and they will work. And just because I didn't get an answer today doesn't mean I stop praying and that God's not going to answer. Number five, when your prayers are a smaller part to God's bigger plan, sometimes we dismiss ourselves in insignificance, that we're not really that important in God's kingdom. But look at what God uses. God usually does not use star power to get his work done. He uses the last man on the team. David was sitting on the end of the bench, and the coach wouldn't let him in the game. And he said, and you got anybody? He said, I got one boy way over there in some obscure sheepfold. He said, bring him here. The most obscure son in the most obscure tribe, the most obscure family in all of Israel. That's the one. Don't count yourself out. Your prayers are important. Your prayers are powerful. God does not check your bank account before he answers your prayer. God does not check your friends before he answers your prayer. God does not check your social register before he answers your prayer. God does not check your physical bloodline because he's got another bloodline that he's checking before he answers your prayers. So your prayers are a smaller part to God's bigger plan. And so sometimes there is a hesitancy until it can all be fulfilled. Number six, God wants to edit your prayers for a bigger or better result. Sometimes God just needs to edit. You're saying, God, save my son. And God is saying, well, I'd like to save your son and your husband and your daughter and your father-in-law and a woman down the road. I'd like to have a revival in your house. Or you say, God, I just need a better job. I'm on minimum wage, and God, I'd like to be bumped up to at least $12 an hour. And God is saying, I'm really going to give you a job. It's not a job for some, it's a job for me. And when I tell you, it's going to just begin to grow in your mind, and you're going to begin to have a explosion in your thinking, and you're going to have your own business. I knew a woman in Monroe, Louisiana, just a wonderful saint of God. She couldn't get a good job. She decided to open up a donut shop. Wow. Every policeman in North County, in North Louisiana, came over there. I saw today something funny. He said, it just doesn't look right. It was a police car with his lights on, and he pulled over a Krispy Kreme donut truck, and the caption was, something doesn't look right here. But anyway, she opened up a donut shop, and from that one shop, she opened several throughout the state of Louisiana. She went from making minimum wage to being a millionaire in 5 years. Her prayer was not what God wanted. God edited it from give me a few more dollars an hour, and God edited it, I'm going to give you a business. And so always be very, very open to what God is saying when you pray. That's one thing about praying. Don't just talk all the time. Talk a while and listen a while. Speak a while, be quiet a while. God will speak to you, and he will edit your prayer for you. That's the reason why the Apostle Paul talked about this. I'm closing with this in Romans chapter 8. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. There's just times. What is it? We don't know what to pray for. We don't know how big the will of God is. We just don't understand how important this is, how God wants us to be an intercessor, how God has got a major plan, and we don't even know that we're involved in it. He said, we know not what we should pray for as we ought. We don't know. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know, this precedes this verse that we love so much, and we know all things work together for good to them who love God and to them who are the called according to his purpose. See, before we get to that verse, you've got to get in there where there is the Spirit in you making intercession. That causes all those things to begin to work together for your good. So Paul said, I speak in tongues more than you all, but he said, I pray in the known tongue, and then I pray in an unknown tongue, and I pray with groanings that cannot be understood. This is probably the best case to be made that every believer should be baptized with the Holy Ghost and have a prayer language. Because if you don't have a prayer language, you can only pray what you know. But when you get in the Spirit and you're filled with the Spirit of Almighty God, you will pray, and then you'll pray in tongues a while. And after a while, you won't even be praying in tongues. You'll just be, and you have no idea what's coming out of you. But the Father knows, because the Spirit is speaking through you. And that's where that miracle begins to come to pass, praise God. And you wake up shocked. I'd consider myself a person of prayer and faith. But I also realize that God shocks me with his bountifulness. He shocks me with his abundance. He shocks me with his bigness. He shocks me that not only does he answer my prayers, but praise God, he stretches them and he makes them bigger. And there's somebody in this building, I feel this in the Holy Ghost. You've been praying for something for some time now. Maybe not as long as I was, maybe not 16 years, but you've been praying for something sometime now. But God is saying to you right now, I want to edit that prayer, because if you will just get loose in the Spirit and let the Spirit pray through you and let the Spirit groan through you, I'm going to bring everything to pass that you're praying, but I'm going to bring also a lot of things with that you don't even know about that are going to be a bigger blessing than the thing that you were asking for. I want you to stand on your feet right now, every one of you, and I want you to think, as you're getting up, I want you to think about the thing that is the most important thing in your life that you need or desire, either one. What's the most important thing? It could be somebody's salvation. It could be a health need. It could be a monetary need. It could be a relationship. It could be a marriage. If you want to come to this altar, that's great. But I want everybody to do this, whether you come to this altar or not. I want you to think about the number. Don't think about 20 things. Think about one thing. Years ago, years in the 80s, the church was in terrible debt. Wasn't as bad as Kenneth Copeland was. It was bad. Kenneth Copeland said when he got the revelation of prosperity, he said, I owed everybody in Fort Worth. He said, I couldn't pay for one a month, and I owed hundreds. And he said, I'd take hundreds of bills and put them in a fishbowl. And he said, I'd pull one out and pay it every month. That's the only one I could pay. He said, I'd leave hundreds in there. He said, when people called me and tried to collect from me and they were ugly, I'd explain my situation to them and say, look, I owe hundreds of people besides you. And he said, I put it all in a fishbowl, but you've been very ugly, sir. And so I'm taking your name out of the fishbowl this month. Now, if you don't call me and bother me next month, I'll put your name back in the fishbowl. He said it worked tremendously. But praise God, the last time I heard Kenneth Copeland's ministry was worth $1 billion. That's a long way from having your bills in a fishbowl, in a fishbowl. You know, there's a lot of people criticize Kenneth. Where were you when the bills were in the fishbowl? Why didn't you criticize them then? People never criticize you for being a loser. They criticize you for being a winner. Because most people do not understand, and they covet what God is doing in your life. But I want you to think right now about the number one thing in your life. I want you to close your eyes. Close your eyes. Nobody's going to hurt you. Close your eyes. Think about it. You need your marriage fixed. You need your body healed. You need your job fixed. You need a business. You need your business to be successful. You need money. You need your son to come back to God. You need to be reconciled with your family. What is it you need? And I want you now to put your hands up, and I want you to pray in English or Spanish, just a few short sentences. You don't have to pray loud enough that somebody standing next to you can hear. You don't want them to. But I want you to pray for that need right now. Just say it. Lord Jesus, save my son. Bring him back to God. Lord Jesus, help me monetarily. Lord, put money in my account. Help me to get funds. Lord, God, give me. Just pray what it is in English or Spanish. And now I want every one of you that have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I want you just to begin to pray in the Spirit, and the Lord's going to edit that prayer request to where it is answerable. He's going to edit it, and it will be answerable when you pray in the Spirit. And now I want you just to pray in that language. And then after that, just begin to groan in the Spirit. Make sure you don't miss it. I've prayed it in English and Spanish. I've prayed it in the tongues. And now I'm praying in the groanings. And praise God, the Holy Spirit is interceding from me. And I got a miracle coming to me this week in Jesus' name. If you're in this building and you're not saved, would you come to this altar and give your life to Christ? If you're in this building right now.